Shut up and sit down.
Hello, and welcome to episode 88 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversations and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm here with my co-host September, also known as 9 of 12. How
Hello.
You doing?
I'm recovering.
Oh, dear. on that, what have you been up to, Ember?
Well, mostly I went to Vegas for the TMS Vegas event. It was really fantastic. Most of the stories can come back. I don't know if I'm going to do my own stream or Jen and I will stream about it. A few stories should probably stay there. A few conversations. I can't even begin. I did zip line, which I never thought I'd do, which is awesome. You have to all pardon my voice. Holy crap. Every morning in Vegas, I guess the dryness, I woke up unable to speak. Like, at any higher pitch than this, it just stops working. And it keeps happening at home now, so hopefully that goes away soon. I got a free zip line ride courtesy of Delaney and I forgot her name, but some people booked it and it was not returnable and they chickened out, and I just happened to be walking by. So want to go? Sure. So that was super awesome, and I get to go with like Warcrusher and Senior Geek and Troll Dan, and there will be video I'll post on my Facebook, or maybe I'll post on the Geek Girls one. I did do the Diamond Club partway down, at least, Signal. Mm-hmm. And I recommend it. It was not really scary. It was not jarring, except for the end. It is a really hard stop. And it was like flying. It was like superhero through the air. Nicely done. So, yeah. I also had an amazing time. I moved my flight to later in the day on Sunday, to like 11 at night. So I basically had another 12 hours out of my trip. And I ran into same-sex Mary, and they were like, let's go for tacos. And I went to Taco El Gordo, which I had been hearing about ever since this trip was announced about this place. They're out of Tijuana, but they have a couple places in Vegas now. And it was just, they were as epic as described. And piling into the band's van and driving through Vegas where they're from was like the best version of, instead of an annoying tour, it was locals pointing out local historic landmarks and like where they went to high school and met at the Las Vegas Arts Magnet. And so super awesome. And I got to see Dills in person for the first time. So big hugs all around. And okay. Curtis and all the people. It being a smaller gathering, this time was a really good experience because you get to spend more time with like little groups of people, and so the name retention is definitely better.
That's true.
As souvenirs, I brought home the Pizza is Beautiful shirt. The pizza place in the hotel was really good. And at one of the after parties, I noticed there was like 6 or 7 people wearing them. So I was like, okay, so apparently the unofficial Nerdtacular 18 t-shirt is the pizza.
Spock, sabotage the system.
Anyway, back to where we were.
Okay, now
it's my turn to do what I've been doing, which the first thing is the plushie update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
So, first thing, I have a couple of softball-sized Pokeballs that I have tested. They do indeed bounce off my husband quite well.
They don't catch him? Oh, you already caught him.
Yes, I already caught him.
You already have one in your collection.
And the other thing I did is, so I've made a couple of little BB-8s in the past, and I had a thought while I was in the shower of, why don't I use blanket yarn and make it big? So I have a big BB-8.
Ooh.
He is so soft. His base is made of baby blanket yarn.
Nice.
So this is made out of the Bernat stuff where it's like super, super thick. So I'm going to make a couple more plushies out of this big stuff and see how that goes. It's very, very floofy.
Do they have that in purple?
Yes, they have purple.
I might want a big giant Gengar to like actually sleep with. I got a Gengar toy as a wedding gift from a friend. So
cute.
Yeah. And it's missing.
I don't know if they make it in the dark enough purple. I'll have to check and see if they make it in the dark enough purple, because I've only seen the lights, like the really light color. Like this. So I'd have to see if they make it dark enough for a Gengar.
Is that cast form? It looks like what? Cast form.
Oh, no, that's a different commission. I'm making a big purple Yoshi for a friend.
Cool.
He's going to give it to his girlfriend to get all the birthday smooches. That is his plan. So let's see. Other than that, that's my crafty stuff that I've been up to. I did a recording of Glitter Dice, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, because we had to miss. And then I did a little bit of shopping at Goodwill for my my Gardens character, which that was this weekend as well. I had a really busy end of the week last week. But I wanted to inject some colors other than blue and black into her wardrobe. But everything I ended up buying was black. So, oops.
I saw that post. I was like, yeah, that's me on every Goodwill trip.
Yeah. And then I had like the super busy end of the week, because Thursday I had band rehearsal at 7:30, followed by the Infinity War movie at 10. So I have seen it. Then on Friday I had a friend's, it's a funeral birthday party because she's 45 now. And so it was a funeral for her youth. So we all dressed in black because she's weird.
Sure.
Yeah. But it was at
that doesn't make me feel old.
No. It was at Chama Gaucha Brazilian Steakhouse. So we had delicious food.
Mm.
But that was at 7:30 on Friday, after which I had to drive an hour over to Rutledge to get to game. So, wee! Super busy. But a really good time at game. It was really, really fun, and the weather was just gorgeous. So, I had a good time.
Cool.
So, after all of that, let's see. Geek Grapevine time! Okay, so the thing that I found this week is, like, it's just, it was an exclusive preview of this, like, anime, or I guess manga is better because it's a comic. This, like, manga-esque style graphic novel about, like, a different take on Hades and Persephone, which I just thought was really cool looking. And it's got, like, It's messed around with the, you know, the story. So it's about like witches and like their society, and Persephone is like the daughter of a witch, and they're fighting against like Hades, who is in the underworld. It's just, it looks really interesting. That's literally all I know about it. But it looks really, really pretty and cool, and I want to buy it. It's also it popped up into my Facebook feed, I think, because it's like the person who, drew it was like, I was very inspired by Miyazaki. So it's also very Miyazaki inspired. It just looks really, really cute and pretty. and I want it.
Okay, well, it says available next month, and that article is dated April 19th, so...
So sometime
I
soon.
I, too, will pester my local comic book store for that, I think. That looks awesome.
I might just go up to my friend Mike, who runs our local store, and be like, can you get this for me, please?
They love it when you do that, because then they're not ordering a bunch of new orders, or have to get it at a higher price later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I do that often. So, I picked up this story because I was on Facebook earlier, and friend of the show, Abby Wessels, had run into this problem. She's like, why is it asking me if this contains hate speech with everything I post, like the weather or whatever? And apparently it was a little glitch they were having. And this was today. Apparently what it looks like, what people are speculating, is that they're kind of moving away from their algorithms and looking at crowdsourcing to determine these things. But what happened was it went in and at the bottom of every post on your news feed this morning was, does this post contain hate speech? So I'm waiting for the clippy memes, right?
Yeah. Just a little, can we help you identify? It's like,
Yeah. People posting. There's some cute things in this article. I will have the links in our show notes, where it's like Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts posting, and Facebook going, does this post contain hate speech?
Oh, jeez. I understand, you know, trying to be vigilant, but yeah, glitchy. Just a little glitchy.
On the weird way that comes across is like, yeah, like clippy. Like, are you sure you want to post this? But asking specifically about hate speech is so awkward.
Yeah.
Like, only Trump needs that prompt every time he tweets.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Couldn't resist.
Which, by the way, have you seen the picture of his doctor? He looks like a complete quack. All I've seen is a picture of the guy, and I'm like, you're probably accredited and everything, and this is just my brain. But you've got, like, the long hair and the unkempt beard and... I don't know, man.
I don't know. I know when his weight was released. I mean, I'm not going to fat shame. I'm fat, right? That's not the point. The point is that was totally a lie. There's just no way. Anyway. So this other one I found earlier today, I'm super excited because I've been waiting and waiting and, like... I follow Neil Gaiman, of course, on Twitter, and I keep seeing little snippets of filming, and I was like, oh my god, when is it? And season 2 it's begun production, and will be out in 2019 on Starz.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Oh no, I'm doing a Curtis. So that was super cute. Oh, Curtis, if you're out there, send me the damn selfies you took. he was taking selfies at the bunkhouse and he had to keep retaking it. And he was, what are you doing? And he just wanted to get my necklace in. I was wearing that Harley Quinn choker. So, adorbs. Okay, so I don't know how long we can spend on this. I was really counting on 3 of us.
Well, you know what?
Having all that input.
I mean, we're going to miss Jen's literature major input, but...
Really?
We're gonna...
No kidding. She's missing our first book club.
Yes, that is today's topic. We started our book club, and the very first book we decided to read was Wrinkle in Time, because the movie came out recently. And you know what? After having read the book, I now understand why people were upset about the movie.
Did you see the movie?
I have seen... a lot of clips of it because I was curious after I read the book. And so I watched through a bunch of clips on YouTube and I was like, ah, I see. I see now why you're upset.
I have not seen the movie. You know, I've seen little clips here and there. I've seen a lot of bad, you know, feedback and reviews on it, which I totally believe and trust. I mean, there, one of the things I really love and enjoy about the book is in the way it's written. Like when they go to the other planet and those, Chimera, for instance, that are the creatures that live there and they see and they get gifts from and travel with. And a lot of her descriptive style is sensory, not visual. Mm-hmm. And so I was like reading along going, I don't, no wonder no one has made this movie before. I wouldn't want to try to force a visual into someone's head because it really evokes an imaginative, I mean, they talk about feelings and, you know, sense, like so many other ways that they are perceiving what they're seeing. So that you kind of come around to a picture with very few physical descriptions. Well, and how can you not just violate the shit out of that with a visual representation?
They actually did make another movie version of it in 2003, I think it was. But okay. I hadn't heard anything about it. I think it may have been a TV movie, question mark. But, like, I was watching something about differences between the movie and the book. Like, another clip that I found on YouTube. And it referenced another movie version of it from 2003. Hmm. And like I said, I had never even heard of it. So that was news to me. You know, the book is from the 60s. So I understand they were trying to kind of update it a little bit.
It was a 2003 Canadian American made for television.
Okay. It was made for television. Yeah. So I guess I'm not surprised I haven't heard of it.
Also produced by Disney though.
Yeah.
Huh. And fireworks. I'd be curious to see their treatment more than I would this recent one from what I've seen.
Well, apparently the one from 2003 was a lot more faithful to the book, because apparently one thing that the more modern version of the movie did was take out all of the religious references, which is like a giant basis of the book. So it's like, okay. So you took out one of the themes.
Yeah.
Because I was a little surprised when I started reading through it, and then, or I was listening to it on audiobook, and the person that was doing the narration was fantastic. I wish I could, I might be able to find it so I can remember her name. I'll look it up in just a minute. And so she did like all the kind of different voices, and it was really cool. And then like, it's like, oh, this is a lot like Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, where it's got religious themes, you know, going under underneath it. And okay, I can understand that. It's, to me, the, and I guess spoilers, to me, the like the bad guy and versus the good guys, it was very black and white, very this is evil, this is good, you know, you have to trust in God and all this higher power kind of thing, which that's fine.
But it wasn't too in your face with the God stuff.
No,
or at least balance with the idea that science was part of what you could trust as a higher power. Like that,
yeah,
they would imply that these outcasts, this family of outcasts and the one they pick up and stuff, they're outcasts because it's like almost a new evolution. They're more enlightened weirdos and nobody respects that, but they will someday because they can lead, right?
Yeah. And that was really interesting. Like, they're trying to explain certain concepts, and it went into explaining it with science. Like, explaining these, I don't want to say faith concepts, but, like tessering, which, okay. I did. They're trying to explain it with all these, like, science-y math things, and I'm like, I see what you're doing there. And it's, I could get it because I've watched Stranger Things. And they're talking about the ant on the line, and it...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, okay, they're basically doing the fabric thing where they're wrinkling it and then they're just hopping over kind of thing. So I could
Well,
understand it that way.
and I understood it from the word that they use, tesseract, because it's a geometric term that implies a fourth dimension, like three-dimensional object, a fourth dimension. Like, that's, if you look up the definition of tesseract, that's the geometric term that is now used in, like, I mean, what, we just saw it in Infinity War. Well, the Avengers have been using it for a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, Loki was calling that, basically, the Infinity Stone gadget, the Tesseract, which wasn't even built around the time one, but that's another.
It's like there's a couple of words that kind of knocked me out of the story for a second, like the use of it as the name of the big bad brain in that was taking over the planet, which is another term. Because it, I'm like, what is it, a clown? Is there gonna be a clown with a balloon?
That happened too. I kept picturing the clown. Like, oh, damn it.
And then the word chemisots actually knocked me out of it for a different reason, because it's the word that's used to describe the werebats in the White Wolf edition of the werewolf role playing books, or the role the role that universe. And so and that's where I learned the word,
Now,
was
I don't
from
remember
that
how
role
they
playing
used it in
book.
Wrinkle of Time.
Kamazots is the name of the planet. It's the name of the planet where it has taken over.
Oh, right. Well, that's weird, because it's death,
Well, Kamazots,
right?
actually, I looked this up. Kamazots originated as the name of a Mayan bat god, and the god was associated with night, death, and sacrifice.
Right. See, I
So
knew
it
that
makes.
part. So that's how the word stuck to me. It was like, oh, this is going to be a really bad place.
Yeah, so, but it makes sense because it's like darkness and night and all that. So, it worked for the name of the planet, but it works for werewolf because it was a bat god. So apparently it also drank blood. So there's that.
There's that. Hey, thanks, BioAgent. Yay, subscriber.
Yay!
I have to do that, but I'm having a weird issue with my, like, Twitch charged me
Oh
on my flight back. All of a sudden I got up and I'm like, why is Twitch charging me for something I don't even know what? So anyway. A player character.
somebody said maybe the BBC made videos based on the books. It's possible. BBC does amazing things that we don't hear about because we're from America. So it's possible that they have also done a thing. It's just those were the movie slash video versions of what I had heard of.
They came across in their research.
In my research, which I found the audiobook of Wrinkle in Time on YouTube. It was only about 6 hours, and I just kind of played it while I was at work. But the rest of the series is also on YouTube, so I mean, color
Yeah, I
me.
was gonna mention that. I have not. I didn't even know there were other books.
Yeah.
But I saw that there are one, two, three, four, five, six, seven other books that have these characters in them. And at the end of Wrinkle in Time, they do have a like a family tree timeline-y thing that shows that.
Yeah, so it's there are other books apparently, so I was like, I mean, color me intrigued, maybe.
I think so. I mean, I really liked it. I remember liking it. I read it. I didn't read it until one of my kids had it for a school reading. I was like, oh, this is really good. And it's fast. I mean, I read it in a couple hours. And then I reread it for this a couple weeks ago. But I think I would like to read more of them. Although I have to read the Infinity Gauntlet comics first, which we bought today, so.
Yeah, I thought I had read it, but apparently I was thinking of a different book that was also on the required reading list because I started listening to it and I was like, this is not familiar. I have not read this before.
But I really like the characters.
I do. Meg seems like at the beginning she's like, "Oh, you're just like a sarcastic teenager."
Well, we all had that phase, whether we admit it or not.
Yeah, I like
her little brother. Holy cow! I love.
Yeah.
That awakened little boy idea. And then the women, Miss Watsit and Witch and
Who?
Mrs.
Watsit, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Witch. Yeah.
So at first I was like, what are they doing? Like, that's just weird, right? Like, not naming them.
Yeah.
But then the Who, What, and Which with the pseudoscience made sense in a way to me, because being inquisitive was so part of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having an adventure, learning things, checking yourself, growing, knowing your weaknesses and strengths. But for all the pseudo-religious overtones, definitely not one religion, because that was so Maiden Mother Crone.
Yeah, and they actually, when they were talking about, like, they were showing, so there's, like, for those of you who have never read Wrinkle in Time, there's two kind of entity things that they're dealing with. One is just, like, they call it the Black Thing, which is just this kind of personification of evil that is taking over planets one by one. And the second thing that's, like, the major actual villain of this particular book is the thing they call It, which is a big pulsing brain that has taken over the inhabitants of this one planet. It's, which, because It did that, that allowed the Black Thing to overtake the planet. So they get to see Earth from afar, the three main characters, and they see that it's shadowed. That's one of the ladies is like, well, that's why Earth has so many problems, is that the Black Thing, the personification of evil, is trying to take over the planet, but you guys have a bunch of lights that are keeping it at bay. And they, like, they name, like, Jesus, they name a bunch of Michelangelo and I think Gandhi and Buddha, actually. They name Buddha as well. So it isn't just the believing in, like, Christianity overtone. It's actually got, like, believing in a higher power kind of religious overtone.
Right. And I like the thing about the darkness, and you think it's going to be that black and white, like the nothing, right? And just planet eating. I guess that's what we're used to in our sci-fi. But then they explore a very specific dystopia of order. And it was very order versus chaos, where emotional chaos is actually the good guys.
Yeah, because they get through explanation that it's like, no, if you just give in, you'll always be happy because you'll never be sad. And it's like, well, if you're never sad, how do you know that you're happy? Kind of thing.
Which is a bit of wisdom that you don't learn necessarily. I think it's a really good bit of wisdom for the age they're, like, fifth grade-ish, giving these kids to in school, right?
Yeah. But the thing that horrified me the most about that dystopia planet was, it was like, yeah, no one's ever sick, because if you get the cold, we just kill you. We just put you to sleep so that you're never sick and you're never unhappy. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No kidding.
No, thank you. Oh.
And the fear right away. The little boy.
Yeah.
You know, and his mom, like, don't tell anybody. I didn't bounce the ball right.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, they show later that he's been put into, like, a reconditioning thing where it's like, ugh, bleh. Don't like it.
No. Well, really cool descriptions. There were some more visual descriptions there that were good about the room in the center And you can imagine now that that's something they could do with visual effects really well, with it, where it's a wall, and mm-hmm. then you can go through it. So that was neat tech ideas amongst the paper shufflers, right? It's a whole other dystopian yeah. nightmare we all actually experience at some point.
Well, it's got some interesting things in it that it's like, I could use that for like a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
Because it was. You said it earlier. It was a lot of sensory, like, not exposition, that's not the right word. Sensory, like, showing. It wasn't just visuals. It was, like, feelings and all sorts of interesting things. I don't know what that motion that I just did was. But... So, I found it a good read. I probably would have been traumatized by that as a child.
You think?
but I might go and just have it playing while I am at work, because I think I saw, because it had up, you know, would you like to play next in the little sidebar, and the next one was a wind through a door or something like that. It was five and hours and 45 minutes. For a read, so might just put that on at work.
There is a little Q&A if anyone reads it, in the back with the author that I enjoyed learning a little more about her and about the book. Originally it was titled Mrs. What's It, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Which, would have been a terrible title, I think.
Yeah,
that was a good call.
A little long.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
What else? Let me see. Her favorite childhood memory is being in her room. She talks about her mother. She talks about this, like, she talks about a lot of stuff that make, to me, it seem like she totally was Meg. And then when asked which of her characters she's most like, she's like, oh, none of them. They're all wiser than I am. I'm like, you don't even know. Because everything she answered was like, that's what Meg would say. I really think she's Meg.
Well, you know, the way she described Meg's room at the very beginning, I was like, did she have an attic room? Because I can totally see, like, you know, if you had like that attic space that was yours, that you were the oldest child, that, you know, you had like the bonus room or whatever upstairs. But then, like, when there's a really bad storm, it's actually really scary.
Right. Like, I'm all grown up. I can handle this. And I identified that with that really well, actually, because I've had attic rooms. When I would go stay with my dad, it was kind of like a room that was converted from attic. My room right now, actually, my husband and I have. It's converted attic space. And when I lived with my grandmother for a while, I lived in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best. It really was. But, I mean, had I been younger, I probably would have thought it was a great idea until I got there and it was scary. Because at the age she is, that makes sense. Like, you think you're everything. When you're a teenager, you're all grown up and you know everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they portrayed that really well. And that's the other thing about making it into a movie. So much was like her internal dialogue.
It is. Yeah, a lot of
that. So much of the story.
A lot of the story is just her coming to grips with things and figuring things out and dealing with her emotional, like, traumas. It's especially when she, when they find her father, she's expecting him to, like, fix everything. But he can't, because he's just a dude.
Yeah, and they have to, and I don't, there's so much of just the way it's written that it would be, and it's not even a long book, right?
No,
I mean,
it's
what
not.
Other books you read and it's so internalized, and that journey is where you're focused, like her coming to realize that she did have to, like, grow up and make her sacrifice and take responsibility. And, I mean, you can show them doing it, but it couldn't have been anywhere near as impactful.
Yeah, the only thing about the book that I was kind of like eh about was they never explain how her father actually like tests hers.
Right.
Like, it's like he's still a dude and he's got the like conceptual knowledge, but actually physically doing that as a human, is it because he's a little a more enlightened person? Is that why he can do it?
Well, they did have a lot in there about his circumstances working. Like he was a scientist working for the government, and this Tesseract idea, he was working with in that context, and that was part of how when he disappeared, like they weren't able to keep track anymore, and the government just kept putting off the mother, trying to get information and stuff like that. Oh, and it was another, like the small town portrayal was really good, where the kids had to put up with all this rumor mill bullshit because they were in a super small town where you had to go to the post office for your mail, so everyone knew Dad quit writing back.
Yeah.
So everybody just thought he left them. And because that was another, they put on that layer of secrecy thing with, like, it was a government conspiracy, like, they couldn't even talk about that and tell people that. Like, her mom just went to Washington and tried to get answers and get something done and couldn't. And I think that purposely tied into the whole dystopian thing with that authoritarian being the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether she meant to do that or not, it does seem... It did end up wrapping at the beginning and the end,
yes,
that part together.
It's definitely a theme, even if she didn't mean it to be a theme, it's a theme. But I love that Calvin's immediate response was, "Your dad wouldn't leave your mom. Have you seen your mom?"
Yeah, there's a lot like, of literally... how hot mom is in this movie. There's an awful lot of that.
Oh, man. It was just so funny. Like, every time, they'd be like, "She's so beautiful, she's so pretty," and it's like, "Your dad wouldn't leave your mom, have you seen your mom?"
Yeah.
It's like, Calvin.
That's awkward. Stop doing that.
Stop.
And it was, oh, so, is she Canadian? Catherine Langle? Or Madeline, pardon me. Madeline Langle is the author, who we probably at some point should have mentioned.
Yeah, that's the author. She's
and I'm guessing. Well, there are a few linguistic things that I picked up on, and I thought she might be Canadian. And then in the Q&A in the end that I mentioned, she talked about really enjoying Anne of Green Gables and stuff when she was little. Now I know in American schools now that's required reading for some, but given the time in which that's was written and the interview was done, I wonder if she's also Canadian. And that you found the thing about the TV show I looked up, and that was produced in Canada.
Yeah, so it might be. It's possible.
I'm guessing.
Hold on, I've got the internet.
Yeah, you have the internet. It's really hard for me to make internet things happen without everyone hearing all the clicking. I only have so many hands, and I'm already using two computers for notes and streams.
Oh, it is. Did not mean for to pull that up. It's still in theaters if people want to see it.
I feel like I should.
Mm-hmm.
Partially just because I feel bad.
No, nope, she's an American writer.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Let's see.
Anne of Green Gables is another one of those children's books I didn't read until I was in my 40s and my kids were reading them.
Yeah, I did. I never actually. I saw like the movie set. I think it was a movie of some of it, of like the first book. But I never actually read the Anne of Green Gables stuff. What I read, like starting early, my mom would read them to me, was the Laura Ingalls series. And she would read those to me to bedtime stories.
I never read those. I used to watch it on TV, though.
They follow the book for a while, and then they're like, we need more seasons, so veering off course.
Yeah.
It's going on a tangent. They have super expanded that universe. I know they do their historical research, but they've gone back like generations now of her family. Yeah. Like all the way back to when they were still living in Ireland, I think. So I don't know how much of it is truly factual anymore. Definitely not an autobiography.
Does she have living relatives still, I think?
I don't know.
So do you have a favorite character?
I liked Calvin, actually.
I really like Charles Wallace.
Mm.
I really like the way they kept using his full name that way and that respectful. And the characterization of him being this little kid and everybody thought he was dumb because he didn't talk. And I'm familiar with that type, you know? And not making those assumptions. I mean, Einstein didn't talk until he was 5, right?
Yeah.
And my son Connor took kind of a long time to start and then just started with sentences.
My dad did that too, actually. My gran tells the story of he didn't talk until he was like 3 or 4. And when he did, he just walked up. He hadn't said a word. Not a word. And he walked up to my gran and was like, I'm going to see grandmother in the other room. And then turned and walked to the other room to go see his grandmother. And she was like, what?
You could do that? Yeah, Connor used to do the parroting thing when he was, you know, when you should be talking around 1 and stuff. But he would only parrot, like, whatever the longest word somebody in the car said. So, you know, and I'm driving around listening to NPR and having a conversation with my nerd friends. And all of a sudden, in the back, it's like, prestidigitation? You know, like, what? And just once in a while, spit out a word. And then he didn't really get to talking more until he had sentences down. Which, okay. Worth waiting for, but you gotta be real careful about what you say, because just because they're not talking doesn't mean they're not listening.
Yeah, I did like how he was like, he would be like, that's my new word for the day, or what does this word mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's totally like a believable thing that a kid that age who is that smart would do.
Yes. And like, did I use that right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that exploration of vocabulary. I remember she was in her teens, but she always felt her vocabulary was stunted, and she used to learn new words from the dictionary and then talk to me about them and try to use them in context, and like spent like self-educating herself, expanded her vocabulary, and I love that. I'm a vocabulary nerd. I've gotten in fights with my sister, because she got really mad because she thinks I use words she doesn't know to try to embarrass her or something. I don't know. No, I really just talk that way. I'm a dork. And I'm a big fan of, for children's series, while we're on children's series, although this book is certainly, I think, worth reading as an adult for sure. But the series of Unfortunate Events.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read those?
I've read like one of those. So
the theme of a new word and what it means is also prevalent through the entire series. They do that, and I learned words. I didn't know what ersatz was. I learned ersatz from that book.
I kind of want to watch the Netflix series, see how they're doing with that.
Almost started to the other day, and I don't know, because, I mean, I saw the movie. I mean, it was okay, but I don't know how many versions I want to see, and I love Neil Patrick Harris and all, but
I'm just not sure.
I watched the preview that came up, and I was like, I don't know.
Let's see. Sorry, while we've been chatting, I was looking up the Little House spinoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Martha years, which is Laura's great-great-grandmother. Then you have the Charlotte years, which is Laura's grandmother. The Caroline years, which is Laura's mother. And then her. And then the Rose years, which is her daughter. And then there's a book called Laura's Lost Years, which is stories about what happened between two of the books. Like, there's actually kind of I don't want to call it a big jump, like a time skip, but there does seem to be, like, they end one book and then you've hopped forward a couple years at the start of the next. Like, you end one book when they're, like, I believe they're in their, like, very, very early teenage or not quite there, like preteens, and you hop to when she's, like, 14-ish and her sister has gone blind in the interim between books, and you're like, what?
Might have wanted to see how that happened.
Yeah, so I think, because Laura Ingalls herself wrote these books, so it might have been slightly traumatic, and she didn't want to write about it, which I don't blame her for. But yeah, so there are a bunch of spinoffs of those book series.
So I guess my take is, do read it. It's worth reading. It has enough context for in other conversations, I think, because so many people have read it. I mean, it was assigned reading in a lot of schools. It wasn't in mine. So, you know, like, knowing through who these characters are, it includes themes, relatable characters and themes that I enjoy and did a good job with them. So,
yeah, I really enjoyed listening to it. That's right. I was going to look up.
Yeah, the voice actor.
Is the
We had
book...
a voice actor in our chat. I'm surprised she didn't look it up for us. Katrine Valentine.
Okay,
which is cool. That's her handle. September Valentine was that was my band name.
Okay, don't start playing. I just want to see.
Yes, I had a band name. I was in a band. And September Valentine is good because Valerie is my first name. September is my middle name. And Valerie is the female form of Valentine.
It doesn't say in the description who is reading it, but it's published by Grigori Terra is the name of the person that put it up on YouTube. But whoever is reading it in this iteration, it's got like an intro from the author, and then it's a different person reading it, but she does amazing voices. Every character has a different voice. Like, Mrs. What's-It is a kindly old grandmother voice, and Mrs. Who is up here and kind of flighty, and then Mrs. Witch is very low and drawn out. And I just thought it was really cool. So, that is the name of that person. I'll hold on, copy-paste, so I can put that into the notes. So I think, yeah, go read it. That is our thing. And we can kind of put it out to you guys. What should we read next in book club? Because this is going to be a quarterly thing, I think we decided.
Sorry, I was trying to mute through the sirens. I guess I'll just have to edit it out.
Anyway, yeah. So, what book should we read next? You can either chime in chat or chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgrills on Twitter. So, what's going on with you? What are you most anticipating right now, Ember?
Well, I will finally be mailing the swag bag to Mikio. Sorry it's taken us so long, but we are in three different areas of the country, and I was waiting to get stuff from Jen in Vegas and making things. We are actually making you things. We've decided to go ahead and mail you stuff separately, so you'll be getting two different packages. So keep an eye out. Should be soon. But I'm really excited about that. What else? I want to see Infinity War again. We were talking about today, the Grills and I, and I guess we're going to do a spoiler episode.
Yeah, I think maybe in a month.
I don't see where... I'm already hearing so many spoiler episodes. I've heard everybody's pros and cons. I don't know that we're going to have any that's that different, but...
Well, I just...
And I'm not big on spoiler episodes. I mean, I thought when Wonder Woman came out, we did one that seemed... thing to do, having women talk about it. But now we seem to be on a track of doing them for all the nerd movies. So I guess it's filler.
Well, I think because this one is literally, some people have been waiting for Infinity War for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
it's big.
It's a big one. Put up in giant letters spoiler warning.
Yeah, I mean... We always have to do that and do a big audio, you know, clues so people can always tune out and stuff like that. But I'd like to do it sooner than later. I don't want to do it in a month. My memory's not even that good. I do want to see it again because it was so much. There's so much. I will get more out of it.
The only thing I will say is from moment one of that movie, it was like, buckle up because here we go. It's just full throttle the whole time.
Well, there's just, yeah, so much to do, and they took 3 hours and did more than I thought they were going to do, but that's a whole nother. Funny, right after the movie, we went to the pub, and our friend Thomas was there, and he's like, only answer one question, because I'm going to get drunk, and then I'm going to start asking you a whole lot of questions, and I can't see it for a few days, but I do want you to answer one. And we're like, okay, who dies? Because that was a big thing. Everybody knows somebody is going to die is all anyone knew. And my husband said, half. So that was just... Which half? And I was like, nope, it's all you get. But it was like,
yeah, nope.
When you, after you see it, how remarkably accurate that was really, really funny. I just look at my husband, I'm like, damn, that's a good answer. So we'll be doing a spoiler episode, I hope, next week. I hope that's just what we do next week. We've got some scheduling stuff going on we have to work out, I think. I know I announced to everyone last week on the podcast that we'll be moving to Mondays. And then we discovered that we had scheduled the same time as Cord Killers. And that's a bad Diamond Clubber thing to do. So... Yeah. We're trying not to do that, but our schedules, I mean, there's three of us, so it's already difficult, and Jen's time is so restricted. Monday's kind of the only day she can do it at all. So I think what we're going to end up doing is overlapping a little bit, right? That's the last word, is it should be starting next Monday... Starting at 8:30 Eastern, right?
Yeah, because 8:30
Eastern. Jen's also Pacific time, so I had to look at that. Yeah, so we should be starting 8:30 Eastern on Mondays until, I think it's every 6 months at least, that her schedule can change. So, and we'll be able to, you know, we'll be starting, Core Killers will still be on. But it's only like a half hour overlap, so people can do both. I mean, some of our most loyal viewers, you know, love both of those shows, and it's part of our community. So we are trying to be as respectful as possible. I will make sure and post to Twitter when we have it absolutely nailed down, and our Facebook page where you can find us, and I will update, you know, the Twitch page as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon. is our next push. Thank you so much to all our wonderful patrons. We are solely supported by you at this point, and I don't know what we'd do without you. It's the best feedback we get, and it means a lot to me. It touches my heart. Any new ones, I almost cry every time. So you can go today to patreon.com/grills and help us out. We still have game codes to give away. Take a look at our list. If there's you would like a new game to try, I know we have more that haven't been posted yet. Jen's got some, I've got some, and we promise to give you something. Just sign up today at any level.
And you can also help us out by leaving a review. Reviews are free. You can go on to your podcast catcher. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing to find where to leave reviews, but they help us out a whole lot. They help our people find us on the podcast catchers. You can also join us on our Facebook page, and you can follow us on Twitter. You can help us spread the word there.
Yeah, iTunes is actually the best one for leaving reviews. Some podcatchers don't even have it. Some have stars. I understand Stitcher's really hard to do, but possible. So, if nothing else, pop over to iTunes. It's the easiest one.
All right. Ember, where can you be reached on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter and on Twitch.
And you can listen to me talk about women and gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast. And you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob, TRUN00B. I'll be continuing my plushie streams. And possibly in the next couple of weeks, I may stream What Remains of Edith Finch. That's my plan anyway. And then Jen, who will be rejoining us next week, you can find her at The Jen Says on Twitter. And streaming at twitch.tv/thegenplays. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.